Good morning. We have visitors. Very thankful for that. Thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ, always. Think about David saying that, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." That was Old Testament worship. Actually, David had to worship in the court of the temple, which is called the tabernacle at that time, but it is on occasion called the temple, but it was the tabernacle in David's time. Some years later, Solomon, of course, built the temple. But it was Old Testament worship, and I've often wondered, thought about how David would love to be a Christian, to live at our time. I'm pretty certain he'd be a song leader. So we're glad you're here. This morning, we're going to talk about some things to keep. We've studied that subject for several weeks. And these things that we're going to study this morning are from the book of Proverbs. You don't hear a lot about this subject, the subject of wisdom and understanding. But the Bible teaches a lot about it, and we could never overemphasize it. And I would say if there ever was a time in the history of the world that we need to have wisdom and understanding, it would be today. I want to mention a few things that are happening in our nation so that we can grasp the devil and how he works. The devil is very powerful. He's not just working in the lives of everyone that is here and trying to tempt us. He's not just trying to tempt and work in the lives of everyone in this nation, everyone in this state, but he's working worldwide. I can't really get my mind fully to grasp how large the war was in World War II. It's just hard to understand how great it really was. And, of course, the devil was very active at that time. But he is working in Europe and in Asia, Africa, all the continents, working in our continent and in our nation. And his goal is to destroy the religion of Christ. And his goal is to make it so that people will not read the Bible, study the Bible, believe the Bible, and follow the Bible, because then they would have an absolute set of morals. They would have an absolute standard of right and wrong. The devil doesn't want that. And in order to be successful in our nation, he has to destroy the things that God would teach that are important to a nation. In other words, he has to destroy what we call the nuclear family, where you have a husband and a wife and children. I haven't looked at the recent statistics, but as about 20 years ago, there was only 1 out of 4 families that were set up with a husband and a wife and children. And the reason that was changed is because the devil pushed to break up the family unit. And he is pushing in our society to separate our history and our past from our minds. And the reason he wants to do that is because our history and our past includes a foundation of believers in God. And that's why they are tearing down so many statues of those that are great men. It amazes me that they could attack something, somebody like George Washington, which probably was the greatest man, recognized as pretty much the greatest man of his whole century. It amazes me that they could ridicule someone like that. And well, it was a time of slavery. Yes, he did have slaves. Many people had slaves. Slaves were all over. United States, they didn't start that. But they finished it in our nation. But that doesn't mean anything to people who want to change our culture. You try to find all the blemishes you can. That's strange that they can find these blemishes in all our founders, but they don't have any. They do not want to have patriots. So therefore, they want to eliminate our history of our past, the history of patriots, and the history of everything that is good in our nation. That's what's taking place. In so many places, our young people, and certainly in many of the colleges and universities, not all of them, but certainly I would say on the East Coast and the West Coast especially, we have these professors and they're teaching their students about how evil our society is, how bad the United States is. I just kind of wonder why they don't, more of them don't move. But the goal is to attack the religion of Christ. They don't want to follow those morals. I read some things this week from a book that was written in copyright of 2002, so I'm certain it was a couple years in writing probably, somewhere around 2000. And I read some things that I wouldn't have known without reading about it, so I'll bring a few of them to you. In 1948, there were 180 different nations. And the first nation to legalize abortion was Japan in 1948. Think about that for a little bit. There wasn't a nation in the world that had abortion where it was legal until 1948. And I don't have the exact date, but I recall, I meant to bring the book, but I believe it was in about 1973. Up until 1973, homosexuality or sodomy was listed as a mental problem, something that was not normal until that time by the psychiatrist and psychologist. What the devil has done, he has taken and things that the Bible would condemn as sin, and he has brought them into the world, and now he's made it so that when Christians get up and when they preach the Word of God, which is the truth, this is God's Word, then they are hated. And now they're saying, you're Nazis and fascists. You've heard these things today. And I did not realize it, but there's some Marxists. And they moved to the New York many, many years ago, and that's what they teach. They started that. That was sort of new. That they started calling those that are doing right, those that are children of God, those that are Christians, they say, well, let's just call them these names. And you say it over and over and over and over, and after a while, people are going to believe in it. That's where we are. You say, well, preacher, I don't think we need to be talking about this. Well, if we're not talking about it, we're not going to have freedom. We received our freedom of religion from people who believed that we should have it. And now the religion of Christ is attacked. There's not even any reservation about it. You watch the television last week, you'll see people that ran for the president get out and just say, got a problem. Problems with religion. The religion of Christ is the greatest thing in the whole world. To follow the Son of God. To follow God. But the devil, he's out there. He's called the prince of this world. We mentioned that, I believe, last week. John 12 and 31. Prince of this world, John 14 and 30, and for the third time in John 16 and 11, the prince of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, he's called the God of this world. In Ephesians 2 and 2, the prince of the power of the air. Satan has a lot of power. And he has really worked on the European nations. And they're in bad shape. We think the United States has got some difficulties. Europe has it more than we have, in my judgment. So the devil, he is out causing all of these wars, the murders that we see, all of the hatred that we see. That's not from God. And we need to understand that we have a government of the people, and by the people, and for the people. You know where that started? That started in Greece. That started in Greece. And the Greeks, they believed that they should be able to rule themselves according to their laws. And when the Persians came to destroy them on more than one occasion, and they had so many more hundreds of thousands and at times millions of more people, and so much more money. It's hard to believe how much money Persia had. But they decided to go attack these Greeks. But I tell you what, the Greeks love freedom. They wanted to worship as according to their own ways, and they wanted the laws to come from their own people. That's where you call democracy. And the democracy was one person, one vote. Aristotle studied that. I know it's a lot of history, but I'm going to get into the lesson here. Aristotle studied that. You can get his book on ethics, read it yourself. And he made a list of these various democracies. And what happens in these democracies is, if you got 51% or 51 votes, if you had 100, then you rule everybody else and you decide everything. So we have a democracy in the sense that we have self-rule. Well, we don't have a pure democracy like the Greeks, and our founders didn't want that. We have what's known as a republic. And it's so much better, because I guarantee you Rhode Island would not want to give up two senators. You know how big California is? You know how big Texas is? Texas is half size of the world, right? Huh? You know how big it is? They just got two senators. That's a lot of power. So our founders, in dealing with evil and sin and wickedness, tried to balance it in such a way with our government, the various branches, in order to deal with the devil, really, and deal with sin. And that's being attacked. So what we need is wisdom, because we're in a war. Now, these wars are bad that we're seeing. All the innocent people, you see them killed every day. But now we're talking about a worldwide war on souls. You don't hear much about that. But that's what's going on. It's a big war. And we're in it. You're in the war. Sinners sometimes, the people living in sin, never become Christians. They don't think about it being in a war. They don't think about the devil. They don't think about his angels, the demons out there tempting people. They don't think about that. What do they think about? Just living today, having comfort, everything going fine. I'm telling you, the devil is out there, and what we need is to come back to the Word of God. Proverbs 1 and 7 is called the motto of the book. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's where we are in our world. Sometimes it's in the church. Individuals do not want to receive wisdom and instruction from God. They don't want to receive it from anywhere. They're sort of great in their own minds. You come down to chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 1 if you have your Bible. I would like to read about the importance of this wisdom. And actually, as we read, you will find out our first point really is that there are things that we are to keep, and then there are things that keep us. That's where we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom will keep you. Wisdom will keep me. Our leaders today need wisdom. Christians need wisdom. In Proverbs 2 and verse 1, my son. Now, over and over, you'll read chapter 1, he says, my son, over and over in different places. Verse 10 of chapter 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 15, my son, walk not in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. And he uses this expression, and really, since he's talking about wisdom, it's pretty much what wisdom would say, because that's what the book deals with. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Notice that, receive my words. We have words of wisdom. So that thou'll incline thine ear unto wisdom. What does that mean, you incline your ear? Well, some of us this morning have hearing aids, right? And it's not unusual, if you, even if you have hearing aids, that you don't hear good. I hope you younger people take care of your ears, okay? And when you incline, you kind of listen and get a little closer. If I take them out, I got to get real close, okay? Take them out. So you're inclining your ear. You are seeking wisdom. You want to hear. And apply thine heart to understanding. You're going to actually do something. You ever put any kind of salve or medicine on your skin? I know that you do stuff like that. All of us have done that. You've got to apply it. So it's something that you've got to do to have wisdom. You have to apply thine heart to understanding. That's why I mentioned these other things, so that we could kind of see a broad picture and have an understanding of what the devil is doing, because it's going to have and is having an effect on us. One writer that was quoted in some of the material I was studying this week, he said something to this effect. If you can control the past, in other words, our past history, if you can control that, you can control the present. And if you can control the present, to a large degree, you control the future. Which means this, if we don't have our history, which makes us citizens in this country, glad to be a citizen, supporting our nation, if you don't have that, you don't have citizenship. There's no such thing as patriotism. Which even when I went to school many years ago, I was kind of astounded, but the professors kind of taught in political science that patriotism was just kind of a tool used by the rulers. I don't think so. There may be someone use it as a tool, but I can guarantee you George Washington went out there and fought in the battle and had his horses shot out from under him, bullet holes in his coat. You tell me he wasn't out there for freedom. But these people have no real knowledge. So he said, you're going to have to seek this. In verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, you can't get too much good knowledge. Christians need to read, really do. Especially right now, and keep track of these things, what's going on in our society. I know you hear it somewhat in the news, but the devil has spread this, so it's all over. It's in books. It's in the movies they're making. It's on the YouTube. It's on the computer. The devil, it's in the news media. The devil uses everything to inundate people with lies so that our nation will be destroyed, and therefore we won't have the freedoms that we enjoy today. So you cry after knowledge, lift us up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, that's quite a bit. Who ever thought that wisdom was like silver? I think it's chapter 8 is likened unto better than rubies. Silver, gold, hid treasures. Where do you read about that? Some of you have gone on past high school. You've taken some college and that. Did they teach that in college? Did you get that in the university? Well, you might have touched on the subject if you took philosophy, but it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of knowledge. You don't know what's going on in this world, and you don't know what's real until you stick with the Bible and know that God is the ruler. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for God, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. We are taught to pray for wisdom in James chapter 1 and verse 5. And the Bible teaches that God will give it to us liberally and upbraideth not. He will not rebuke us for seeking wisdom from God. He blesses us with it. He has given us this book. In Psalm 19 and 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In the book of Proverbs, the simple person is a person that's not a really deep thinker. And I want to say this in as nice a way as I can, but most of the time, young people have got to get a little more experience. I was that way. Weren't you that way? The young people have to get a little more experience. And they don't see the complexity as a rule in the world until later on. Then they see how the devil works. And they see how things operate in the world. So this is to teach those that have that lack of understanding. All of us need it. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. A buckler is a shield. How would you like to go out in battle? At the time of David, time of Solomon, how'd you like to go out to battle and you've got a sword, and this guy's coming at you, he's got a sword and a shield? Well, I would like to have that shield, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to have the buckler, that shield on your forearm to protect yourself? When that blow comes, you can raise that shield. The Bible talks about Ephesians chapter 6, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Got to have a shield. Christians in warfare, we have to have faith. Strong faith in order to face the devil. We will suffer persecution. So he says, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. We have people today who don't understand that. Righteousness has reference to keeping the commands of God. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Psalm 119 and verse 172. I would understand the judgment having reference to being able to make the right decisions that deal with morality and how to live, and to be able to plan your life based upon those teachings. Judgment. I hear all the time people quote from Matthew chapter 7, the first 5 verses, say, judge not that you be not judged. Well, there are other verses on judgment as well. And one of them that Jesus gave is John 7 and 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We are commanded to judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment based upon truth. We have the truth of God's word. In verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. There it is. Understanding shall keep thee. In the Hebrew, which I do not read the Hebrew, anybody can look up the words if you have a concordance. They very often, in one sentence, especially in Proverbs, they will say something in two different ways, but they're mean about the same thing. Kind of, they call it parallel. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. You could word that, discretion shall keep thee, understanding shall preserve thee. See, it's the same idea. Once you see that, you read the book of Proverbs and you'll see it over and over and over again. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, Modern translations have it as like perverse. The ideal is this. Now listen. The ideal is that you've got people out there that are evil. And what they will do, they will twist things. That's what's happened in our society. Like under abortion or sodomy or other subject, they will twist it in such a way as to make it look that that is good and that is proper and that is right. And then whatever is right, they try to say that's wrong, and that's, you know, they hate that. That's a kind of a, like a magician. Kind of like a magician. They twist and pervert the truth. But he said, this understanding shall keep thee. It delivers us. He goes on, it delivers us from evil men, and he goes on and says it delivers us from evil women. That brings us down to chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Is that really true? You think the world teaches that? You think the devil teaches things in such a way as you're going to have length of days and long life and peace? Well, that's sure not going to come with the drugs, is it? That's sure not going to come with the alcohol. All of us have probably seen the commercial. I've referred to it before. A lot of people don't like this, but that's just a lot of people don't like truth. You got a commercial, and the guy is holding up a bottle of whiskey in one hand, and when he ends it, he said, God bless America. God bless America. Yeah, God bless America. The devil will destroy you. The drugs will destroy you. They are fighting, and of course, so many states are illegal. Back in about 1969, I was taking a biology course. I had a professor that was a long time ago, wasn't it? He was studying marijuana. He was as good and honest person as you could probably meet. And he told me, and told others in the class, that in his studies, that marijuana, and it was weak then. It's like 100 times stronger now. It was weak then, but marijuana would eventually eat away at the membrane around your brain. Now, he had to have some evidence of that. But that's true of all these drugs. They all attack your mind. They attack your judgment. First thing that is attacked by alcoholic beverages is your judgment. So many things done because of that. So he says, you let not, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. How do you know what's merciful? How do you know what's true? God. That's why you have the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is also beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Psalm 111 in verse 10. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It comes down to this, and originally I just had these statements about things to keep, but I've decided it's here we are to keep his commandments in verse 1. But I can't overlook verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I have a friend that lives near Murfreesboro, maybe 20 miles away. I forget the name of the city. I went to school with him. He has written basically books on the entire Bible, but about 4 different books in the Bible. He is older than me. He has difficulty, I'm certain, of seeing. I could not begin to tell you the difficulties he has faced in his life. But early on, his daughter was murdered by her husband, and his granddaughter was murdered, and his son was crippled for life. He has had all of these problems, and he's still trying to complete 4 more books in the Bible. I tried to tell him, he's not well. You can't do that. It's just so much, but he's going to die trying to complete that, and I admire him. He gave these 3 points in the book of Proverbs right here. Our trust in God must be, number one, entire. And he quotes Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It must be entire. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Then it must be exclusive. You remember when the devil tempted Jesus? He said, I'm going to give you all the kingdoms of the world. He's lying about that. He didn't have that power. The devil's a liar. John 8:44, and the father of it. He didn't have that power. God rules in the kingdoms of men. The devil can't do everything. But Jesus answered him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The only one true God, and we worship that one true living God. And then it's not only entire and exclusive, but it must be constant. We worship God constantly. We don't just quit because we come and worship now. We pray at home. Probably most of you sing during the week. If not, I certainly highly recommend it, and you have Bible teaching for it. But it must be constant. In Psalm 55:22, David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You always do that. Peter writes, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We have people here that have every kind of problem imaginable. There's not probably a single one of us that have any idea of the problems that are right here, right now, health-wise or otherwise, maybe other areas as well. But we cast all our care on God. God is able to take care of us, no matter what. And in Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So we pray to God, and when we pray to God, we need to be single-minded, because James talks about the person, he says, is a double-minded man, and he is unstable in all his ways. We must be singular-minded and focus on God. This final verse, before we invite you to become a Christian, Isaiah 5:21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We need God to have wisdom. We need God's book to teach us how to stand up and fight for truth and not be ashamed of it, to resist the God of this world and to resist those things that are false, that are being taught by the devil to different people. I hope we'll think about these things. I hope that you will get into the book of Proverbs and study it. Understand how important this wisdom is. Use it for God's service. If you're not a Christian, we always invite people. It's a time to become a Christian. Brother Tom had some very good verses this morning. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. What does that mean? If you don't believe that I am he, the he has been supplied by the translators, you've got to believe Jesus is God's Son. He is the great I am. Do you believe that? That is the great proposition of the Bible, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:16. The devils believe and tremble, James 2:19. They're not saved. So obviously you're going to have to repent of your sins or perish, Luke 13:3. Be willing to confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9-10. And that's just not now, but always. And to rise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. If you're not a Christian, we invite you to become one. We've had several recently, and we have six or seven that not too long ago had not been obedient fully to the Lord. Maybe you need to do something. Maybe you need restored to God. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.